In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In our age of fluctuating religious affiliations, particularly in the West, many people have come to identify themselves as that common identifier, spiritual but not religious. And when you ask these folks about the teachings of Jesus, the person of Jesus in particular, and Christianity, it is even more common to hear them say something along the lines of, "I really love the teachings of Jesus, the things that he said, and I think we should all try to follow them." In this way, the teachings of Jesus, the spoken recorded words, are elevated above the sectarian fray between denominations and different faiths as the essential contribution of Jesus of Nazareth to humanity. Now, don't worry, this is not an angry priest's screed against the secularization of our society. Instead, what I intend to say is that I've come to believe through my experience and my reading of the gospel that what is essential are not the words of Jesus, but his physical, bodily actions. What Jesus did. After he washes his apostles' feet, he asks them, surely knowing the answer already, "Do you know what I have done to you? For you I have set an example, that you should also do as I have done to you." In this final meal with his beloved, knuckleheaded, cowardly, and even treacherous disciples, Jesus does not opt for a parable or an extensive discourse in order to convey one of his final lessons to them. Instead, he performs an action. He stands and he performs for them the summation of all that he intended to teach during his earthly ministry, an action which becomes the basis for his commandment at the end of this gospel passage, his mandate. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." And lest the disciples miss the point entirely, Jesus does not wax poetic about the nature and importance of love for his disciples. Instead, what he does is he lifts his incarnate body from the table. He takes a towel. He stoops in front of their dirty feet, muddied from a long journey, and he pours out water over them in a simple act of hospitality and service. But in fact, there are two actions going on here tonight. We cannot forget the context of the foot washing. It is in the course of a supper with his disciples. What precedes the foot washing? Now, John does not give us a full narrative of this supper, but Paul recounts it for us in the reading from 1 Corinthians. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The totality of the supreme commandment to love that he gives at the end of this passage from John leaves two actions, two tokens for us to reflect upon: a broken loaf and poured out water, a broken body and poured out service. There's a moment in each Mass that I say when, and every priest does this, they lift the bread. And as I lift that bread, I pause, perhaps longer than I should. I take in the beauty of that host, its creamy appearance, its smooth surface, its perfect, perfect circular shape, its delicate symmetry. And then I snap it in half. In the quiet of the weekday chapel services, the fracture is very audible. It almost rings in your ears. After taking in the host, the beauty of it, and the prayers that we have said over it, it's a painful action. And here is the mystery of the love of God for us, which Jesus displays to his apostles and which carries him to the cross. In its perfection, love descends into the broken chaos of our world. The hurt and the loss and the pain and the betrayal, and it allows itself to be broken by our brokenness. There is vulnerability here, but there is also resolution and courage. As we read on Sunday from Isaiah, setting up the text for Palm Sunday, I did not hide my face from the insult and the spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Divine love, vulnerable and courageous, presents itself to be broken because it knows a deeper truth which we fail to see on our own. It's only through the shattering of the host, the breaking of that bread, that we are all able to share in the nourishment of Christ's body and blood. It is only through water streaming over filthy feet, splashing from the basin onto a dirty floor, in the eyes of some to be wasted, that refreshment and cleansing are able to be present. And so Christ here performs the singular divine action of love, self-offering, self-outpouring, knowing that the way towards love's intended end runs directly through our brokenness. It cannot be passed by, and it cannot be made whole by love unless love itself first meets us there in the midst of the pieces. It breaks to meet our brokenness. It pours out to meet our emptiness. And somehow, it remains confident that in the pieces and the outpouring lie wholeness and fullness. But not yet. Mysteriously, it is after completing this singular divine action, this offering of these two tokens, that Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God has been glorified in him." This has been the confounding mystery of the incarnation the entire time Jesus walked the earth, that the glory of God's love for us increasingly magnifies the lower that God in Christ stoops on our behalf, bending into the womb of a teenage girl, into a dirty manger, into impoverished itinerancy, onto his knees before his disciples' feet, into death upon the cross. It's as if John is pointing back to the beginning of his gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The darker the gloom that surrounds the Son of God, the more brilliantly the radiance of his self-offering love shines. And so, as we move through these next days, I encourage you to find the luminous core that hides in the darkness, waiting for us if we have the eyes to see it. Because this love that Jesus embodies, enacts, and requires from us is not the love spoken of by poets and love songs, the love of high ideals and lofty intentions. This love is glorious because it is real and it is gritty. It is triumphant for these very reasons. It is a love found in a broken body, the pieces of our lives scattered around us. It is a love found in the brief, cool reprieve which meets us on our journey's way. It is a love present, shattered with us in the horrors which meet us, and the horrors we inflict on one another. It is present in the emptiness we feel when we are poured out like water, and in the silence and stillness when all is said and done. love in action is truly a harsh and dreadful thing, because it loves us to the end. Amen.